From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he'd be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying sorry, you should forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." This is one of the most important aspirations we can be praying. I remember a few years ago when Luke 17 came up in the Gospel that Pope Francis led the Angelus, in which he got the 50,000 who were assembled in St. Peter's Square to repeat after him over and over again in Italian, "Lord, increase our faith, increase our faith." This is something that we should be saying every day. The apostles were provoked to say it because of the immediate context. First, Jesus was talking about a life of faith and the type of positive example that should show. But he talked on the flip side about scandal and said, "Better for one who causes scandal to die with a millstone around his neck than to cause scandal and lead anybody on an opposite path than the path of faith, down some other way other than the everlasting way that the Lord has revealed to us by faith." So they recognized immediately that in order to set that good example, they needed increased faith. Pope Benedict used to say, prayer is faith in action. I think we could even go beyond it to say living in the presence of God, living conscious of God's help at every moment, is the way that we live by faith. That we don't live the way others do, oblivious to the fact of the real, real world where God is constantly seeking to help us. And the apostles recognized that in order to live in a way constantly yoked and consciously united to the Lord, they needed the Lord's help. Second thing, Jesus gave a very demanding set of conditions with regard to those who sin, those who do cause others to fall. If your brother sins, rebuke him. It requires great faith to love our brother enough to give a fraternal correction when he needs it. But if he repents, forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times, give him an 8th chance if he comes back and says sorry. This is something for which we need greater faith. We have to recognize in faith how much the Lord has forgiven us, and then we recognize on the flip side that we have sinned against the Lord far more than 7 times a day, and he continues to forgive us when we say sorry. And that helps us to do the same toward others so that we become more and more like God. And after the apostle says, say this, increase our faith, the Lord says something almost unbelievable. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, if you have the tiny littlest portion of faith, you could transplant mulberry trees into the sea. Trees would obey you. What he was saying there is, I don't want you moving trees by faith. But if you have that little bit of faith, think about how God would respond to you. Think about how God would respond to you. So don't be afraid to ask it. Don't look and see how much faith you miss. But just look to see how much faith you have, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. You could transplant trees. So when you turn with faith to your Father and say, increase our faith, already start your act of thanksgiving because he will give you that gift. But he often will give it by sending brothers to be rebuked or to be forgiven 70 times, 7 times. He'll put us in circumstances in which we will have to set that good example united to him. The first reading, we see what life by faith looks like from the beginning of the Book of Wisdom. That when we live by faith, we love justice. We love this right relationship with the Lord, this proper ordering of things, the way they things are intended to be by God. We don't just seek it, but we love it, and we're passionate about it. That's why justice for those who are wronged has always got to be a passion for anybody who lives by faith. Think of the Lord in goodness. Think about the goodness of the Lord, in other words, is something that those by faith do. And seek him in integrity of heart, with purity of heart, seeing him in all things. That's the way we seek him when we're living by faith, knowing that he's always there. Someone who lived by faith and sought to increase the faith of others is the great saint we celebrate today. I'm never a huge fan when the church changes feast days to days different than the day that they died. And on December 22nd, if we're here together, we will remember Frances Xavier Cabrini again. But this is her centenary year, and it's an important day for us to focus on her example of faith even more than we do on other occasions. Pope Francis this year has focused on her twice, kind of in an extraordinary way, back on January 15th, after his Angelus meditation, which was the World Day of Refugees and Migrants. He then went on a whole paragraph about St. Frances Xavier Cabrini and her example of care, of seeing Christ as we prayed in the opening prayer today in others, and then serving them. And then in September, when her daughters, the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, were having their chapter in Chicago, he wrote a beautiful and long letter all about the lessons they and the whole church need to learn from the faith of St. Frances Xavier Cabrini. And so today, as we say, increase our faith, the Lord puts before us not a scandalous example, but an extraordinary example for us to follow. What do we learn? She was the youngest of 13 kids. And her parents read the Acta Propagandae Filii every night to them of all the great missionaries and their adventures and their martyrdoms. And it really influenced the kids. She lived next to a small little canal, so she used to make paper boats and put a flower on it to symbolize the flourishing life of any missionary, and put it in the canal, anticipating that it was going to go all the way to China. She had this, like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, this burning desire to get to China. She worked very hard in her studies because she thought in order to be a missionary, she would need to know the faith and be able to pass it on. She'd need to be good at languages. Her parents died at 18, whereas most others would be disconsolate. She recognized that it was a thing that was freeing her up to be able to go to the end of the earth. But when she started to apply to orders as nuns, again, over and over and over again this happens, she was rejected. She was rejected by the very teaching order with where she had gone to school because they thought her health was too frail. I was reading in preparation for an article tomorrow on Solanus Casey. And likewise, Solanus was booted from the diocesan seminary because they didn't think he was smart enough. Just a constant litany of rejection of the lives of the saints. It's both a means for us to suffer our own rejection when it happens, but on the other hand, it's a woe to you who make decisions like this, because so often we don't accept the saints. Mother Cabrini, though she experienced that rejection not just from that order, but several others, the pastor recognized that she had great zeal and great organizational ability, so asked her to save an orphanage that was in the parish. She got six other women, helped her to do it. They did extraordinary things for those orphans, but the institution itself wasn't to be saved. Immediately thereafter, the bishop called her in and said, "It's clear that you have a vocation, likewise to be a missionary. But, and this is true, there are no missionary orders of religious women, because the church thought it was too safe. It was a little bit like putting women in combat, especially after you read about what happens to the North American martyrs and other places like that. Church did not want its daughters suffering in those ways. So it never allowed it. But he said, you must found one. She had the faith to respond. She wanted to found a missionary order to go to China, but she had a dream one night asking her to consult Pope Leo XIII. So she went and laid out the whole hope that was in her heart to Leo. And the great Pope, who in her lifetime said she is a saint, said, not to the East, but to the West. Here in our New York City, what was the situation? There were 50,000 Italian immigrants, only 1,200 of whom had ever gone to Mass. There were only 12 priests in the city. 10 had been booted out of their diocese for scandalous behavior. It was as deplorable a spiritual situation as you could imagine. And so she was sent over here after Archbishop Michael Corrigan had written a letter asking for her to come. But the benefactress who had set up the orphanage here had reneged because of a conflict with the archbishop. And so he said, we don't need you, go home. And she said, no, the Pope sent me here and here I will stay. She worked it out with the benefactress. She built an orphanage here. And from there, her faith increased in so many works. She founded orphanages and schools and hospitals in New Orleans and Denver and Chicago and various other places here in the States. She founded them in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Panama, Costa Rica, Brazil, Argentina. There's a sixth South American country during her lifetime. She founded in France and in England and in Spain. She made 30 transatlantic trips. And this was a girl who, because she lived next to that canal when she was about 6 years old, had fallen in and she almost drowned to death and ever after had a terrible fear of water. And yet her zeal was able to make her, in a sense, walk on water in boats to go to places where, if she just had caved into her fear, she would never have gone. She sought to help others to get to know Jesus by faith so that they would be able to walk along the everlasting way. How beautiful it was that she was baptized Francis Xavier Cabrini, because she became very much like Saint Francis in living by faith as he did. She's the first American citizen to be canonized, and how proud we are that looking at the altar at St. Peter's in one of those niches of the saints that built up the orders that rebuilt the church, Francis Xavier Cabrini is there, this short little missionary sister standing so tall. Today, as we come forward and ask the Lord to guide us along the everlasting ways, we ask him to increase our faith. we beg him, not to move a mulberry tree into the sea, but to give us a double portion of what in Francis Xavier Cabrini pleased him so much.